Amen. Thank you, brother. Good morning again to you. Thank you for being here this morning. A lot of people traveling, a lot of people sick, a lot of people just don't go to church. That's just part of life. But we are here because God has made sure we were here, and I thank God for that. We have been studying the last couple of weeks the death of Christ and the necessity of the death of Christ. People miss great blessings when they fail to understand the eternity and the sovereignty and the predestinated ordained will of God. When people overlook these things or ignore them because they have grown up in churches that hate God and hate God's sovereignty and hate that God is sovereign in all things, they miss such a great blessing on what God has done for us. And we looked last week and we're getting into the eternal covenant between the Father and Son. But let's go back to our text scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a great scripture. It's a great scripture until people start messing it up. When people start misquoting scriptures and misquoting the meanings of scriptures and try to make them mean something they do not, then they mess up the entire thing of the Bible. Well, our first point was it was given to Jesus to die for us. And we looked at how God had ordained that Jesus Christ come to this world in order to die on that cross for our sins. That's the reason God dispatched him here. That's the reason God sent him to this earth, is to come and to seek and to save them that was lost. And the way he was going to save them is to carry out the preordained plan of God in his entire life. From birth to death was ordained and pre-planned, predetermined by God. And we're going to look at this. Everything with God, we looked last week, we got into our second point. Let me not get ahead of myself. God's eternal ordained plan was that Jesus Christ die for the sins of a remnant, not the sins of the world. It's plainly, clearly explainable. Some people ignore it, but it is plainly, clearly explainable that Christ could not have died for the sins of the world, because when Jesus Christ died, if he had died for every sinner in the world on Calvary, every sinner in the world's sins would have been cleansed. Our sins are not cleansed in time. They were cleansed and pardoned when Jesus Christ died on that cross more than 2,000 years ago. He went there and died for our sins. That was God's plan from the beginning, and that was God's plan carried out during the life of Jesus Christ at his death. So we got down to our sixth point of the eternal covenant. If you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 13, when I truly believe this is the eternal covenant between the Father and Son. All of God's covenants are eternal. God planned them before the foundation of the world, or he knew them before the foundation of the world, because known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. We also looked last week that God never changes. He never changes in ideas. He never changes in thoughts. He never changes in will. He never changes in ordaining things. Everything of God is eternally known of God. And the reason God doesn't change is because God is eternal. Please understand, God is eternal. He does not have a beginning, nor does he have an ending. The world of time is not God's time. God's time is eternal, which eternity means time doesn't exist. Time only exists from the beginning of creation to the end of the world. That's it. When God's done with this world, He will end time. And when He remakes the world after He fires it up and burns it, melts it with fervent heat, and brings the New Jerusalem down, which will be a kingdom for Christ and His people, He will then, time will exist no more. Everything goes back to eternity. People can't understand eternity, and they fight eternity because they can't comprehend it in their mind because we're limited to time, aren't we? We get up at time, we go to bed at time. We eat at time, and we exercise at time, and we go to church at a certain time, and we do everything else at times, don't we? But in eternity, there will be no more time. When God is done with this world and time ends, it will exist no more. It will all be eternity. There will be neither night nor day in heaven. There will be no time. Okay? It will just be eternity. I can't explain it because I don't understand it because I've never been there and experienced it. And neither has any of us. But Christ did. God is, and those that's gone on before us understand eternity now. So, we now come to our sixth point, of our second point, and we're talking about the ordained eternal plan of God in Christ. So let's go to the eternal covenant between the Father and Son was complete before the foundation of the world, long before Adam sinned. We got to understand, I got to get that taken off. We have to understand that everything planned for salvation was done before the foundation of the world. Read Ephesians 1. Many other scriptures tells us these things. That God predetermined, He ordained everything, including the death of Christ. And long before Adam ever sinned, God knew that man was going to sin. He knew Adam was going to sin. Now, whether He ordained it or not is up for debate for some people. I believe He did. I don't think He caused Adam to sin, but I think He ordained that Adam would sin. He knew it one way or the other. So it doesn't matter whether He ordained it or not, whether He planned it or not. He already knew it, didn't He? Because God knows how much? Everything. There's nothing God does not know. And since God doesn't change, nothing God did not know before the foundation of the world. I'm sorry this takes so long. I'm explaining this best of my ability. But I want you to understand exactly how God is. And He is eternal. And therefore, God had already known that Adam was going to sin. He already known that we were going to be born sinners. And before the foundation of the world, God had already elected, yes, I said the nasty word of elected a remnant, built a fold, and gave that remnant and fold to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. So in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant." So what is exactly the word of the, everlasting covenant? What exactly is the everlasting covenant? So let's look at the words. These words are used in the Bible about 15 times, but only once in the New Testament. And it's only used the one time to explain the everlasting covenant between the Father and Son. Everlasting means it's eternal, and it will never change, it will never end, it will never do anything but he carried out exactly the way the Father and Son dealt with it before the foundation of the world. God promised, go to Genesis chapter 9. God promised a world, promised to the world, an everlasting covenant, did he not? Let's go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 16. And the bow, that is the rainbow, shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature and all flesh that is upon the earth. Another everlasting covenant, isn't it? It's the rainbow. After the flood, God put a rainbow in the sky, in the clouds, to say that he will never flood the entire earth again. He's not going to. Next time he destroys it, he will destroy it by fire. He will not destroy it by a flood. An everlasting covenant which God made before the foundation of the world. Now, how can you say God made this covenant before the foundation of the world? Because God don't change. Everything with God is before the foundation of the world. Everything with God is eternity past. So therefore, God already made this covenant, and in time he made it with people, but he already made the covenant before the foundation of the world. He already knew he's going to flood the earth, kill every living soul except for the eight on the ark, and he already knew every other plan that he was going to do throughout time. Excuse me. My allergies. The others are made in with Israel in the Old Testament. Excuse me. Only once in the New Testament is the term used right here where it talks about what? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Jesus Christ's blood was shed in God's mind in eternity past. In eternity past, God knew that he was going to send his own son as the seed of the woman before the world was ever created, so that he could die on that cross, shed his blood for the everlasting covenant between the Father and the Son. Because that was a covenant between the Father and Son. It wasn't an agreement, so to speak. People don't make agreements with God. And the Father and Son will not make an agreement together. But it's a covenant, and it's eternal, it's everlasting, because it will never end. It will never change. It will always be the exact same thing from start to finish. Amen. And that agreement that the Father gave the Son was that he would be born of a woman, be born as the seed of a woman, come into this world as a baby, grow up in this world as a man in the likeness of simple flesh, live a holy life, never sinning, not even knowing sin, and then in time he would surrender his life to the heathens of this world, the Jewish and the Romans, and he would surrender his life. He would take the beating that it took to satisfy God, as God preordained for him, and then he would die on that cross, shedding his blood to forgive our trespasses. This didn't all come together in time. This is all ordained of God. Amen. And the Bible plainly prints out in the scriptures, as we're going to see over the next few weeks, how God ordained it and how God planned it out and how God carried it out. But this is the blood of the everlasting covenant. So This everlasting covenant, or this eternal covenant, was made before the foundation of the world between the Father and Son. Go to John 17, if you will. But all of the elect of God was included. Everyone that was going to be a beneficiary of the eternal blood of the covenant was already ordained by God to be God's child. God put together a fold, and in that fold, he put me, he put you, he put every other believer that's ever going to believe in that fold and gave it to Christ. And we were called sheep, and he was called the shepherd. Jesus said in his prayer, his real prayer, the one he actually did pray in John 17, the one I love so much, look at verse 4. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. Listen, I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. So, before the foundation of the world, God gave Christ a work to do, didn't he? What was that work? Well, the work was plentiful. It had a lot to it. But what was the main purpose of the work of Christ? Was to be born, to live, to die, and to be rose from the grave and ascend back up, sit on the right hand of the Father on high. But all the work which Christ did on the earth, including his death, burial, and resurrection, including the shedding of blood, including living a perfect life, is to what God the Father gave him to do. God didn't give it to him day by day. God gave it to him in the eternal everlasting covenant. This is what you're going to do. You're going to be born of a woman. You're going to be the seed of the woman. You're going to live on that earth. You're going to grow up as a man. You're going to suffer the pains and aches and temptations. You're going to suffer all of the things that these people suffer, because they're my children, I ordained them to be mine, and you're going to redeem them. I drop down to verse 6. It says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. When? Does God give us to Christ as we're saved? Well, if he does, something's wrong, isn't it? What's wrong with that picture? You know what's wrong with that picture? God's changing. Christ's changing. They're changing because they're redeeming and giving as time goes forth. In other words, they don't know it. It's like us going out picking berries. We pick them as we see them. That's what the world wants you to believe. But what did Christ say? I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast givest me out of the world. And we see the giving is the same as the work he gave him to do. It was all at the same time in the eternal or everlasting covenant between Christ and God the Father. Thine they were when we were his. When were we God's? If it's after redemption, we can't be God's until we're redeemed, can we? But here Christ is, they were yours. Right? Before the foundation of the world, they were yours, and thou givest me them to me. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. You know what that is, folks? That's election. You know what that is, folks? That's a remnant that God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to the Son in this everlasting covenant before the foundation of the world. And thou givest them to me before the foundation of the world and the everlasting covenant, right? And they, let me turn the page, have kept thy word. Not because we're good, not because we're smart, because God gave us the grace to keep his word. Aren't you blessed? I'm blessed. I'm here today in this church building preaching to you, feeding the sheep of God, because God put me here. I'm preaching this message because God put it on my heart to preach this message. You're here hearing God's word, being blessed with his message, because God put you here. All by the eternal work and hand of God before the foundation of the world. All them saints, millions stacked up on top of millions, tens of millions, gave their life back in what's called the Dark Ages. Not by their own will, but by the will of God. We give them credit because they suffered and died, didn't they? They are indeed great people. Men, women, and children all died at the hands of Catholicism, the Roman government, and many other governments and many other people that came out of and reformation of the sick-minded Catholics and killed people because they would not recant Jesus Christ as Savior because they were different. Yes, they are great people. But they were great people because God made them that way. Otherwise, they would have floated like a piece of paper and been burnt. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, if you will. The mystery of the gospel is the eternal covenant Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. He says, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see that? You know, so many people cannot see that. They're not blessed like you are. See, everything to me, to a Christian, is a blessing. Right? I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul told us about it. I've repeated a million times. One of the greatest apostles, if not the greatest apostle, one of the greatest men of the New Testament, outside of Jesus Christ, said that I am what I am by the grace of God. And even though God gave me the grace, I didn't waste it. And still, even though I didn't waste it, it's still because of God's grace. Can we not see that? Everything we are as Christians is because of God and God's eternal purpose for us. So he says, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. When? And eternity past, before the creation of this world, before sin ever came a reality, before heaven was even created, before angels, before Satan was created, before Satan fell, before all of these things, God has given to Christ a remnant of people called the elect of God. God had already ordained an eternal purpose for everything. Even the eternal purpose for you was ordained before the foundation of the world. It did not come into existence in time. It was ordained It was manifested in time. It was revealed in time. Your salvation was complete when God chose you before the foundation of the world. There is no way possible you could have ever not been saved, because God elected us all before the foundation of the world, put us in a boat, and gave us to His Son. Then the eternal, our everlasting covenant happened between Father and Son. And then God started to manifest things as He created the world, as He created Adam and Eve, as He created Satan to go to them and to betray them and then betray the Lord, and for sin to happen and for sin to progress the way it did before the flood, and sin to progress the way it did after the flood. It was all ordained of God, because throughout all of it, God gets what? Glory. He gets glory because it's His ordained will being carried out. See, it wasn't a matter if Christ was going to die for your sins. It wasn't a matter if He was going to shed His blood. It wasn't a matter whether or not you were going to ever believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't a matter if the Holy Spirit was going to cause you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't a matter if you would ever be a Christian. It wasn't a matter if you'd ever be a church member. It wasn't a matter if you'd ever believe the Word of God. It's all a revelation of God's eternal plan before the foundation of the world. People can deny it if they want to. I've been studying this my whole 40 years of ministry and more. It is the Word of God. Just like the death of Christ didn't just happen, He was carrying out the will of the Father of the eternal or everlasting covenant between He and the Father. Man thinks successively, falling in the order of time, but God thinks simultaneously. God thinks all at one time. So God doesn't follow along in time. I'm sorry, with spitting them words, I'm still having allergy problems. God doesn't follow in time. God does everything at one time. We follow in time. We started church at 11 o'clock. We're going to end right at noon. Right? You're going to go eat lunch, because that's the time you eat lunch. You're going to go home or go shopping or do whatever you do after that. And at a certain time tonight, you're going to go to bed. You're going to spend your night. You're going to wake up in the morning. And you're going to celebrate this big pagan holiday. And you're going to enjoy your day off, aren't you, if you're off? Some people are not fortunate to be off. That's what we do. But where is time with God? There is none. Time doesn't exist. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. See, people try to make things out of the Bible that isn't reality. It means He's eternal. He never changes. The Son of Man changed. The seed of the woman changed. He grew. He was born. He grew. And He died. But deity doesn't die. Deity cannot die. That's the purpose of the Son of Man, isn't it? To do those things that deity itself couldn't do. Because God cannot change. Any part of God cannot change. Cannot. Absolutely cannot. He is eternal. Therefore, Christ was sent to this world in the form of the likeness of sinful flesh, as the seed of the woman, as fleshly being, the son of Abraham and David. The Bible even talks about Jesus Christ sitting on his father David's throne as a man and ruling this earth for 1,000 years. As a man. As the King of kings, Lord of lords, and God to God. Go to John 8, if you will. So man looks at things as successive in a successive way, but God doesn't. He looks at everything at one time, as the eternal God that he is. Everything is God at one time. Nothing changes. But if there were succession with God, could he be called the I Am of the Bible? Makes sense, doesn't it? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, I had this explained to me many, many, many decades ago when I first became a preacher, started growing in the sovereignty of God. I had this explained to me, and what I am means that I am. I am before the foundation of the world. I am in the eternity past before the creation of the world. I am in creation. I am in the flood. I am in Moses' time, Pharaoh's time. I am in Abraham, David's time. I am in Jesus' time. I am in tomorrow. I'm in the next day. I'm in the next month. I'm in the next year. I'm in the next decade. I am. At the great white throne, I am. At the end of the world, I am. At the rebuilding of the world. You know what the I am is? God is eternal, and he does not change. As I said before, you take this bottle, the circle of it, eternity past, eternity future, there is no such thing with God. God is in eternity all the way across. This is time. There is no time here. There is no time there. Everything with God is eternal. If God... If God could change, then how could Jesus Christ say, before Abraham was, I am? You say, well, if Jesus Christ was born, how can he say, I am before Abraham? That's why we had the incarnation. That's why we studied the incarnation. I'm not going to stand up here and try to tell you whether or not the Son of Man existed before birth or not. But I do know this much, the Son of God did. Because the Son of God is just as eternal as God the Father is. Just as eternal as God the Son is, or God the Holy Spirit is. Jesus Christ was speaking of deity here. At the minimum. You know, Brother Curtis Pugh and some others on Facebook had a big debate on when Jesus Christ actually did exist. I can't answer that question. Just like the election. When did God actually elect people? I can't answer that question because God doesn't change. He doesn't think. He doesn't do anything like that. He doesn't have to. He knows everything. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He's everywhere. He doesn't have to be holy. He's all holy. Right? So when you look at God, you see all of these things about God. and how he's omni in everything of his being. So he's in eternity past, he's in present, he's in tomorrow, he's at the end of the world, he's in eternity future already. Because with God there is no eternity past and no eternity future. It's just eternity. So Jesus said, before Abraham was, I was there. Before Adam fell, he could say, I am. I was there. Before the creation of the world, he could say, I am. I was there. When God elected his remnant, Jesus Christ can say, I am. I was there. Because he was. As God the Son, that's exactly where he was. Jesus Christ, as he walked this world, had the mind of God. He knew the plan of God. He knew his purpose. He knew why he was sent here. He knew what he had to do. Because why? It was God's everlasting covenant with the Son, wasn't it? So Jesus says, what? I come to do my Father's will, not my own. Wow. So it doesn't matter what's on my mind. It doesn't matter what I'm thinking. The only thing that matters is what God says. Right? Of course, he's thinking like a man there, isn't he? He's thinking like his humanity there, isn't he? Because the Son of God would never have to say that, would he? Because the Son of God's will and the Father's will is the same. But the Son of Man's will was the same too, because as incarnate was the Son of God, he already knew the plan of God, didn't he? You know what else he knew? He knew everybody that was going to be saved around him. People say, oh, he never told people they weren't his. He did. John 10, he sure did. He said, you're not mine. Now, Jesus would never deny one of the elect of God, would he? He would never tell one of the elect of God, you're not mine, because we were his before the foundation of the world. We belong to him in the everlasting covenant, when the Father gave us to the Son. We are part of the fold of God that God elected for the foundation of the world as he put us in that fold. We have for eternity belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not become Christians. We do not become part of Christ. We do not become part of the fold. We were that before the foundation of the world. People can deny it if they want to. I could care less. I'm not here on this earth to debate. I'm here to preach the gospel to the world and the truth to the world, in order to make disciples out of them that believe not. Okay. So, we're about 5 minutes away from time. So, just to refresh you on what's going to develop next week. I know I'm going slow with this, folks. We're going to crawl through this. We're not going to hurry. This is some of the most important Bible study we can have as Christians. The problem with the Christian world today is they do not know the things of the Bible. They do not understand God and how he works, how he functions, how he thinks, how he exists. They deny God. It's a disgrace. So our third point, we'll start with this. I almost lost my knee there. The death of Christ cannot be dated from God's viewpoint because he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's where we will pick up next week. Because he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, isn't he? Thank God he was. Thank God he sent him to this world to die for my sins and to die for your sins. Thank God I'm a Christian. Thank God he gave me what I needed to be saved. Thank God he saved my unworthy soul. Because if he had not, I would still be lost. I would still be dying. I would still be heading to hell. If it wasn't for my sovereign Lord, before the foundation of the world, choosing me and calling me his own, adopting me into his family, and sending his son to die for me. And Jesus said, he that believeth on me shall have eternal life. Let's all stand. Justin's going to come. He's going to lead us in a song. If there's any reason to come, you come.